I love baptisms. I've baptized youths by full immersion. I've baptized infants by sprinkling and pouring. I've reaffirmed the baptism of adults while perched on a boulder in a pond on a cold April afternoon. And recently, our daughter and son-in-law mentioned to us they're developing plans to have their second son baptized. Gigi and I will be there at this limited attendee, social distancing, masked baptism. And even amidst this darn pandemic, I will love being present at our grandson's baptism. There are a number of reasons why I love baptisms. Chief among them is what undergirds and surrounds baptism, and that is the story of Jesus's baptism and how it speaks to us today. Mark's gospel begins with these words, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now you have to keep in mind this gospel is set in and written against the backdrop of the Roman Empire. The leader of the Roman Empire is Caesar, who is called Son of God. And I'll add, he's also called Savior because he delivered Rome's peace, the Pax Romana, to the world. So already, Mark's gospel is a bit of a revolutionary offering of a counter-narrative. Caesar is not God's son. Jesus is, and this is good news for all. Mark continues his opening by quoting the familiar Advent text from Isaiah. I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Following this, Mark introduces us to the messenger that Isaiah references. This is John the Baptist, who proclaimed, quote, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, remember, repentance is not simply saying, I'm sorry. Baptism is all about realigning myself and all that I am and all that I aspire to, every nook and cranny, realigning my life to God and the things of God, the priorities of God, participating with God so that the will of God is done on earth as it is in heaven. This realigning understands that there are things within me that are not aligned with God. In fact, these things can separate and do separate me from God. The condition which we call sin is about my life being out of alignment. And this out of alignment keeps me from the fullness of life, the flourishing of life God intends for me and for my relationship to others around me, including my relationship with God. So God, who is at all times seeking to realign people that they might flourish, initiates through his messenger John the call to repentance. And people come flocking to the Jordan River for a baptism of repentance. But he also tells the people that this baptism of repentance will be coupled with something extraordinary. John says, quote, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is important. John is telling me that my response to God's call to realign my life to God and the things of God so that my life and my relationships with others, including my relationship with God, can flourish and God's will in heaven can be done on earth. John is telling me that this is not a repentance to self-help or just try harder or a Jenny Craig lose the sin weight program. This baptism of repentance is not another gimmick you try to fix your life. John says, look it, I'm just putting some water on you that symbolizes cleansing. But God is sending his son who will pour his Holy Spirit over and throughout your life. Friends, the Holy Spirit is the very presence of God who comes in refining power. My ability to realign my life is, frankly, very limited. I can do some polishing, I can dress myself up, but the real work of deep change, deep realignment, transformation that leads to flourishing is only done by the presence and power of God's refining Holy Spirit pouring over and through me, refining out the toxins and building into me what we call the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit creating within me the heart and mind of God that can see and respond righteously to all things that rob people individually and corporately of flourishing life. So, God has started something for our benefit. God is sending his Son, not Caesar, to bring people and the world fullness of life, flourishing life. Our response to what God is doing is repentance, realignment to God and the things of God. But God understands that realignment, transformation, and flourishing are not possible left to ourselves. There needs to be divine empowerment, which God will provide as Jesus brings the Holy Spirit to us. Now, Mark's gospel continues, saying, "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan." I absolutely love this. Jesus, the Son of God, the one who is good news for a broken, out of alignment, non-flourishing world, Jesus, who will baptize us with the Holy Spirit so that real transformational alignment for flourishing, for fullness of life, this Jesus shows up. And what is the first thing he does? He doesn't yell at us. He doesn't say, "Pick yourselves up and get your act together." He doesn't kick us in the ribs and slap us across the face and scream, "What the heck have you been doing?" No. Jesus wades into the Jordan River. John plunges him beneath those muddied waters in a baptism of repentance. But Jesus, the Son of God, has nothing to repent of. So why does he do this? Jesus goes down under those baptism of repentance waters, not because he needs to, but because he is identifying himself fully with our brokenness, our helplessness, our darkness, our diseasedness, our sin. Friends, this is the beauty of incarnation. This is Emmanuel. This is God in it, in life, in our broken world, in my brokenness, in my pain, in my suffering, God in it with broken me, with broken you, with broken humanity, with broken creation. He's in it all. But he's not broken by the sin. It doesn't cause him to be out of alignment. He's not diminished by the power and destruction of sin. He shares our humanity. He is literally touched by, he feels with all of his human senses, the broken, painful, stinging impact of sin, even unto death, but without being beaten, overcome by sin. And by his very presence and power, he redeems us. He wraps his strong arms of redeeming love around us and brings us out of our broken darkness into the light of his flourishing life. Charles Wesley, in his hymn entitled, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain," writes of his own encounter with redeeming Son of God, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Wesley writes in verses 3 and 4, "He, Jesus, left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." Friends, that quickening ray that Wesley writes about is the awakening presence of Jesus, who left his Father's throne above and who comes to us with free and infinite grace. Wesley says that the presence of Jesus lit up the dungeon of his life. And mind you, he was not a drug addict. He was not an alcoholic. He was not someone that we might dismissively say of, "Oh, well, he really needs God." No, Wesley was a priest, an ordained clergy in the Church of England. Yet when Jesus shows up, he realized his life. Wesley realized his life had been like a dungeon of darkness in comparison to living with and flourishing with and flourishing for Jesus. Wesley's hymn is just one way of telling the story of how Son of God Jesus, Emmanuel, God in life with us, wades out into the waters of our diminished, sin-broken darkness and brings us flourishing light and life. I recently learned that a friend of mine from long ago died of the COVID virus. He was 68 years old, a retired physician who lived in Arizona, but he was serving temporarily at a hospital in Indiana to help with the pandemic caseload. Larry was a guy that I went backpacking with in the high peaks of the Adirondacks. He was a groomsman in my wedding, as I was in his. Larry had been one of my young life leaders in high school. That's where our friendship began. Most of the time, he just played guitar in the background. But one evening, he gave what Young Life calls the sin talk. Larry told a story about the used Porsche he drove at the time. I was a high school kid, and I loved that Porsche. So Larry told the story about his Porsche. The body on that car was in mint condition, and as far as you could tell, the suspension and engine were in great shape, too. But Larry, who worked on that Porsche, told the story of how he got underneath that Porsche one day, and he discovered that the drive shaft had been eaten away with rust and was in danger of breaking. Now, mind you, this is the 70s in Northeast Ohio, lots of salt on the roads, and the metal of cars back in those days was pretty flimsy. I still remember Larry saying, "I don't care how good the car of your life looks on the outside. If your drive shaft is rusted through, you're not going anywhere." Larry had to get a new drive shaft for his Porsche. He likened that drive shaft to our hearts that drive our lives. He told us that our hearts are broken by sin, that our broken hearts create a separation between us and God wants to give us new hearts, new drive shafts, so we can live in relationship with him and with others and with ourselves and move toward flourishing, God's flourishing. I don't know why, but for me, a 17-year-old high school kid who had grown up in the church, sin finally made sense to me, and I began to long for a new drive shaft, a new heart. Larry was one of the people who made Son of God Emmanuel, God with us Jesus, real to me. with Wesley, I could say after that sin talk, I woke, my dungeon flamed with light, my chains began to fall off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and I've been following Jesus ever since. I love baptism. I don't remember my baptism because I was a six-month-old baby, but I know this. In my baptism, my parents were responding to God's loving claim on my life. In my baptism, God was already calling me, seeking to prepare me for the day when I would realize my brokenness, my need to repent, and my need for a new heart, for the one who could save me from my brokenness, give me a new heart, and lead me to flourishing life, aligned and being aligned with God and the things of God through the power of God's Holy Spirit. That same Jesus still leads my life. Can I ask you, does he lead your life? He can. He's in the waters of that Jordan River right now, ready to fully welcome and identify with you. He's unafraid of your sin. He's not put off by it. He's not going to tell you to go and get cleaned up first and then join him in the Jordan. No. He's inviting you to come and immerse yourself in his so free, so infinite, redeeming, chain-breaking, transformational love, grace. I invite you to pray with me. Emmanuel Jesus, thank you. Thank you for leaving, as Wesley sang, leaving your Father's throne above. Thank you for coming into our space and time, our flesh and frailty, our brokenness, darkness, our sin. Thank you for coming to judge our darkness, to declare it is not right and will not stand. Thank you for judging and moving against all things that diminish human and creation flourishing. Yet while in love you judge these things, you join us in the muddied waters of them. Thank you that you are not afraid of my sin. You do not avert your eyes nor withhold your touch. You come to us, to me, to be with me because you love me and want to rescue me, that I might flourish and have fullness of life. Oh, Jesus, my Emmanuel, send your Holy Spirit, your refining presence, immerse me deeply into the waters of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, bring light and life, break chains. Judge my life-killing sin. Wash it away. Transform me. Free me. Make my life one of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Make my life a Jesus reflection of humility, justice, righteousness, and servanthood. Today, I remember my baptism, and with Wesley, I once again proclaim, I rise, go forth, and follow thee. Amen.